Man, I just hope it keeps raining for like an hour so I can preach for a long time and you won't want to go outside anyway. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, there were a lot of amens. We're good. We're good. Yeah. Hey, summer in the Psalms. How many of you are glad that fall is coming? It's August and you're, anybody? My wife yelled, oh, there's way more no's than yeses, but there's a few of you that are with me. There's a few of you that are with me, but my wife is definitely not voting for that. It's still summer now for sure. The warm weather will come back, but we've been looking at this great series titled Summer in the Psalms, and today as we're going to go to Psalm 67, looking at a message and a psalm that I've titled Blessed to Bless. Blessed to Bless. We're going to be looking at the blessings of God in our lives through this psalm and why God blesses us. I'm going to read the whole psalm, Psalm 67. It's just seven verses. It'll be on the screen, but you can also follow along on your Bible apps or on your paper Bibles, however you would like to. Psalm 67, 1 through 7. Here we go. May God be gracious to us and bless us. That's a good place for an amen. And make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. Somebody give God praise. Praise you, Lord God. Amen? Amen. And may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. That's Psalm 67. Father, in Jesus' name, thanks for your word. I pray that you would help us once again to be equipped through your word as we've gathered in your house this day. And we don't want to just hear a word to just make us feel good. We want tools to help us to live for you, Lord God. We want to know your word so that we can live for you, so that we can live victoriously and live effectively for you, Lord God, in this world. So through your word, I pray that you will build us this day in the name of Jesus Christ. And church, would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for blessing me. Help me to understand why. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, it's really raining. You're with me though, right? Who wants to go outside? I know a pastor who preached in the snow one time, but not in the rain. Yes. Hey, stay with me in spite of the rain. Stay with me. A Hebrew man, it's many centuries ago, millenniums ago, in fact, and a Hebrew man walks among his sheep one morning, centuries before the birth of Jesus. It's a few days before the Sabbath, and he's inspecting his sheep one by one. So picture this Hebrew man who has all these sheep, and his sheep are out in the field, and he's walking amongst the sheep, and he's looking at them good. He's looking at one all around. He's checking under him. He goes over and he looks at another one. He goes over and he checks another one. And one by one, he's checking all of his sheep and he's evaluating them. And what he's doing is he's looking for the best one. Somebody say the best one. He's looking for the best sheep that he has. You see, this man will go to Jerusalem three times a year to offer a sacrifice and to worship at the temple there under the old covenant. And when he goes, he will always take his best sheep. He won't just grab any sheep. He won't take the sheep that has something wrong with it that he thinks wasn't going to make it anyway. He's going to pick his very best sheep because he wants to give God his very best. Amen? That's the one he's bringing. So he goes among his sheep. Once he has settled up on one, he brings that lamb with him. You remember in Isaiah where it says, as a lamb before its shears is silent. Remember how Jesus, the lamb doesn't know what's coming. It doesn't know it's going to be sacrificed. It just comes with him. He leaves others to watch over his sheep that he has there. And he brings the sheep to the house because he's going to leave to go to Jerusalem. And he's going to take that sheep there with him. It's not a tax. It's not a penalty. This is a free will offering that he gives out of worship to God. He loves God and he wants to give God his best. He's taking his very best to God. When he arrives at the temple, he gives the lamb to the priest, and the priest receives the lamb from him for a sacrifice, and then the priest speaks a priestly blessing over the man. Speaks a word of blessing over him. And it's not words that the priest just makes up in the moment. They are words that God gave Moses on the mountain. So when Moses was on the mountain and God gave him the law and God gave him the guidelines for his people, he gave him a blessing for his people. And God told Moses this. He said, tell Aaron and his sons, that's the beginning of the Levitical priesthood, to bless the children of Israel in this way. I want to show it to you. It's actually in Numbers. Psalm 67 talks about it, where we've read today, but it's in Numbers. It's Numbers 6, 24 through 26 is where all this starts. He says, Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people in this way. So you come in, you bring in, Caleb brings his sheep in, he gives it to the priest. The priest stands over Caleb and he says this to him. He says this to you. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. That's where those words come from. So you would give the lamb, and the priest will then speak these words over you. And when the priest speaks these words over you, verse 27, the next verse in Numbers says, whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I want you to catch this, I myself will bless them. Wow. You guys can keep going with that sermon if you would with me and put the next slide up. Amen. I myself will bless them. The words of Psalm 67, as I've mentioned, where we've read today, they're reminiscent of that priestly benediction, those words of blessing. They're a reminder that God is the ultimate source of all blessing. Now, we don't live under the old covenant. Amen? How many of you are glad we live under the new covenant? You didn't bring a lamb to church with you this morning. You didn't have to bring a sheep when you came, right? Because the Lamb of God has already been offered. And who was it? It was Jesus Christ, offered once for all. But had we lived under the old covenant, there would be a principle that would be over our lives. It would govern our lives with regard to our walk with God. And it would be this. It shows up in the Old Testament. It's this principle where God would say to his people, if you will obey me, I will bless you. It's all throughout the Old Testament. If you obey me, I will bless you. But Jesus came, and we live under the new covenant. Amen? And we look back to the cross and forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we don't live under this principle of, if you obey me, I will bless you. We live under the principle of, I have blessed you, so obey me. Are you with me? I have blessed. Jesus already came. Come on, where are your sins? They're on the cross, amen? Our sins were taken to the cross. Jesus already paid for everything. Jesus already paid all the price. Jesus already bought your healing. Jesus already paid it all, praise God. So if we had lived before Jesus, we would live with this governing factor over our lives of, if I'll obey God, God will bless me. But I live under the new covenant, so I live with God has blessed me, and that's why I follow him, because I'm already blessed. Amen? I'm already blessed. Jesus already came. Somebody say, I am blessed. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive to church, what's in your bank account, what clothes you wear, where you live, the children of God can always stand from every corner of the globe and declare, I am blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed when I come in. I'm blessed when I go out. I'm always blessed because Jesus already came. Are you with me? So I'm not looking for the blessing. I'm already blessed. I live blessed by God. I could be going through a terrible time and say, I'm just blessed by God. And somebody could be like, you're crazy. What do you mean? You're going through a rough time. No, no, no. Jesus paid it all. I am blessed. I'm blessed of the Lord. So we live under this place of blessing under the new covenant, praise God. God blesses and continues to bless us. And he does it not because of anything we have done or do. It is an undeserved expression of his love for his children. Now, considering this priestly blessing, there are three aspects to it that we need to catch before we can even look at why God blesses us and why, well, the principles of blessings in our lives. So just very quickly, let me give you three things before I get to the real three things of the sermon. These first three, you need to get them, but they don't count. Are you with me? This is the bonus sermon within the sermon. Today you didn't know it, but it's a buy one, get one free special, all right? Buy one, get one free today. This is the bonus within the message. There's three principles of this blessing. The first one is that the blessing was a blessing of protection. Psalm 91, 11 and 12 declares this. Psalm 91, 11 and 12, it says, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." What a great passage. Has anybody ever stubbed your toe on the sofa? Anybody ever done that? You ever been walking across the room and you hit your little toe on the chair leg? Did anybody ever do that? Doesn't it feel good? Wakes you up, makes you all alert. Huh? You've done that? Man, I hit my toe on the sofa. I'm like, where's my angel now? Where is he? I thought he was not going to let me dash my foot against a stone. I'm like, is he sleeping? What is going on? Where's my angel now? So listen, Psalm 91 is not really talking about my foot. It's not talking about my foot. It's an expression that talks about little things is what it's talking about little things. The promise of protection is one that it's used as an illustration to say that God isn't just watching over you in the big things. God is also watching over you in the little things. The things that are big that we think matter, God is there. Amen? The little things where we think, you know what happens? Sister Grace gave her testimony of how God brought her through cancer. Praise God. Praise God. Someone gets cancer, we're like, let's pray. But then if we get a cold, we say, let's go to CVS. Am I with the right people today? Right? We say, no, CVS can handle this one. Walgreens can handle the upset stomach. But if it's big, listen, God cares about the little stuff too. God cares about all of it. We bring everything to him. And this promise, this blessing, was a promise of blessing. God was saying, when you speak a word of blessing over my people, let them know it's a blessing of protection, even in the small areas of their lives. But it was also a blessing of favor or a blessing of grace. Come on, we know this verse, 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is saying this in the blessing. When you speak a word of blessing, Aaron, over my people, when you speak that word over them, let them know that I will be gracious to them. I will be gracious to them is what I will be. See, when you went before a king, in the days when these verses were written, the psalmist says his face, the psalmist uses an expression that comes from this, but if you went before a king in this day, his face would communicate to you where you stood with him. His face would communicate to you if you found favor in his sight. It worked a lot like mothers' faces. Who had a mom? Who had a mom? Everybody who had a mom, raise your hand. Listen, if I walked in the house and my mom walked in and looked at me, I don't need a word out of her mouth. I already know if things are good or if things are not good. And how do I know it? Yeah, her eyes, her face, the countenance of her face. She could walk in and just look at you. And you already know. I could do something, and my mom could come and ask me about it, and I start to tell her a story of what happened. And while I'm telling her the story, her face lets me know if I'm doing good or if I'm digging the hole deeper. Hello. Her face communicates this to me. I know, I'm doing all right. Or I know, man, I better just shut up and go clean something because her face already looks like I'm going down fast here. This is not working out. It is the countenance of her face. This expression of your face shines, which was used in this day, was if you came before the king, if the king looked at you and smiled, it was said that the king's face shined on you. So if someone had to go before the king for something as judge, you could say to that individual, may the king's face shine on you. May he smile on you, is what you would be saying of that king. You didn't want a dark cloud on the king's face. You wanted a big smile. So when the blessing speaks of God's face shining on you, it is speaking of the favor of the King of Kings. I like knowing that when God looks my way, he smiles. Listen, Jesus paid for all your sins. Are you with me? Jesus paid for all your sins. How many of your sins did Jesus wash away? How many of the sins has Jesus cast into a sea of forgetfulness? How many sins has Jesus cast as far as the east is from the west? Listen, when the day comes when we die and we stand before God Almighty and you walk into the presence of God and you stand there, he's going to look at you and his face is going to say to you, I'm home. I am welcome. His face is not going to scowl at you. He's going to look at you through eyes of grace and know that it's all been washed away. He will shine on us, praise God. Tell somebody, God smiled at me. And there's no COVID in heaven, so he never wears a mask. You can see the smile. Yeah, so there's a third aspect of the blessing. A third aspect of the blessing, and that was one of peace. This blessing that was spoken was also a blessing of peace. John 14, 27, Jesus spoke of it when he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now, the world defines peace as the absence of turmoil, but God's people describe peace or define peace as the presence of God. Are you with me? The world will say there's peace when there is absence of turmoil, but for the child of God, there's peace in the presence of God. I can still be in the midst of turmoil and have peace. Hello. I can be in the midst of chaos and have peace when I know that God is with me. He's with me. So we rest in that place of peace then. David lies down and rests when Saul is trying to kill him and declares, he gives his beloved sleep, I shall live and not die. It is a place of peace that David finds himself in, even while he is being pursued, because he knows that he is in the presence of God. Psalm 67 is invoking this priestly blessing. When God's face shines on you, it is a declaration that God, that he is going to protect and keep you. He is going to show favor and grace to you, and he is going to give you peace. But why? Why does God bless us? That's what we want to answer today. Why? First things first, I want to establish this because it's there in that psalm, and that is that God is the source of all good things. God is the source of all good things. Church, never mistake the channel of your provision as being the source of your provision. Did you catch what I said? Never mistake the channel of your provision as the source of your provision, as a source. So let me pick on somebody in the room. Guillermo, you'll be good to pick on. Where do you work? Where? He works at the country club. So do they pay you or you volunteer? Yeah, they pay him. So the channel of his provision is the country club. But that's not the source of his provision. The source of his provision is God Almighty. Are you with me? See, where the funds come from, that's just the channel of my provision. But that's not the source of my provision. Let me pick on somebody else. Caleb, I said your name today, but I'll say it again. What's something you'd really like to have that's safe to say in front of all these people? New fishing gear? Okay, do you have an uncle? You got an uncle? What's your uncle's name? Just name one. Hector? Okay, so what if, do you have an uncle that doesn't live locally? You do. Give me a name of an uncle that doesn't live locally. Manuel? Okay, so let's say Caleb's at home one day and the UPS truck pulls up in front of Caleb's house. What can Brown do for you? And a guy gets out in a brown shirt and brown shorts at summertime, and he brings a box up to Caleb's house, and he puts it on the porch, and Caleb opens the box. His name is on it, and he opens it up. And this box is filled with brand new fishing gear with a note that says, Caleb, just want you to know I love you and I was thinking of you, your Uncle Manuel. That'd be pretty cool, right? That'd be pretty cool. Here's what I don't think Caleb would do. I don't think Caleb would start yelling, wait, wait, and go running out of his house, running behind the UPS truck, banging on the back and get the driver out and say, oh, let me give you a hug. Thank you so much for what you gave me. Thank you so much for the fishing gear. I've been wanting fishing gear. Caleb would not sit down and write a thank you note to the UPS driver saying, thank you for fishing gear. It meant a lot to me. Because Caleb knows something. He knows that the UPS driver is just the channel through which it came, but the UPS driver is not the source. All right. Now, you can be grateful for your employer, of course, and grateful for where something comes from. But ultimately, what we always remember is that God is the source. God is the source. That's why no matter what I get or what I have, I say thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, because every good and perfect gift, where does it come from? It comes down from God. Out of heaven. God is the source of all good things. James 1:17 declares it. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Now, this should encourage us greatly. Where does every good gift come from? Right. Where does every perfect gift come from? They come down from God. Now, if that's all the verse said, we'd already be good. If all it said was every good and perfect gift come from God, we'd already be good. But wait, there's more. There's more. It says, the old KJV would say, from a God who there is no shadow of turning, it says. A God who there is no shadow of turning. A God who does not change like shifting shadows, we read. Hebrews 13:8 tells us he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you believe God's the same today as he was in 1923? Come on, 1923? Is God the same today as he was in 1923? 98 years ago? I think he is still the same as he was in 1923. In 1923, Thomas Chisholm sat down to write about the God he served, and here's what he wrote. He wrote this in 1923. He wrote, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
He wrote that in 1923. Is that still true in 2021? Is he still faithful? Does every good thing still come from him? Come on. God was the source of all good things for the psalmist in Psalm 67. God was the source of all good things for James the Apostle when he wrote that every good gift comes from God. God was the source of all good things for Thomas Chisholm, who wrote, great is their faithfulness. And God is the source of all good things for you and for me. Everything comes from him. Now catch this. Everything that's good comes from God. It is God who blesses us. Second thing today, blessings are always bigger than me. Blessings are always bigger than me. Now, we talk sometimes about somewhere that is a best-kept secret. We'll say, oh, that place is so good, and nobody knows about it. Nobody knows about that place. There's a little island called Culebra that is a great little island. How many of you have been to Culebra? I'm not going to say anything else about it because you'll go there. I don't want you to know it. No, I will, yeah. Culebra is this little tiny island that's a part of another small island. It's part of Puerto Rico, but it's its own little island. Only 1,300 people live there. That's it. It's a little tiny island with 1,300 people on it. There's not much there. We've been there a few times along the way, my wife and I, my family. It is beautiful. It seemed like no one ever knew about Culebra. And then one time a few years ago, National Geographic did this article that they put out where they listed the 10 most beautiful beaches in the world. And they put Culebra on the list. Man, I wanted to run get all the National Geographic magazines and burn them before anybody could see them because I knew what would happen. Now everybody's going to go there. Now everybody's going to, nobody heard about this place. Now everybody's going to go there and all want to experience it. And it's such a beautiful place all together. And you won't tell anybody else about it though, right? It's just our little secret right here, all right? Don't tell anybody else about it. It's just us. Listen, God's goodness is not like the island. We don't hide the goodness of God. It's not a secret that is kept. God blesses us so that his goodness can be known by all, so that his ways can be made known among the nations, the psalmist said. God blesses us with protection, with favor, with peace, so that others will see his work in our lives, and then they will want what we have. Anybody ever go to lunch on Sundays after church? You ever go out? Ever go to a restaurant anytime during the week? Sometimes I go in a restaurant and I walk through. I can order in almost any restaurant for my wife without a menu. She knows what she wants. She's very particular. And most restaurants I can walk in, I could pick, and in fact, we'll look at the menu and I'll point something out. Look, try this right here. And usually I'll know because she's a little limited. I kind of order all over the place and get anything. So I'll walk into a restaurant, and sometimes when I'm walking across, I'll see somebody's plate, and I like what I see. Has that ever happened to anybody? I like what I see. I walk across, I'm like, look at that. And then sometimes I'll go over to them. I'm like, oh, I never saw that before. What's that? What are you having? They said chicken fingers and french fries. I said, oh, that looks good. Chicken fingers and french fries. I never heard of that before. I said, maybe I'll get that. Whatever it is that they're eating. And I'll say, and then the waiter comes. I say, I want what he's having right there. Or I want what she's eating. Where's that on this menu? I want that. We see what someone else has, and then we would want it also along the way. Well, that's how the blessings of God work in our lives. The blessing of God works in our lives that the psalmist says that God will see the blessing in our lives, and then others will be drawn to him as well. So that always tells me the blessing is bigger than me. God's blessing you so that other people can get blessed. God's blessing you so that other people will be blessed. You don't get the promotion, the raise, a possession, income, a healing, anything just for you. It's always bigger than you. God always has a bigger plan. It says in the Psalm, so that the nations will praise you, so that all the peoples will praise you is what it says. Not just, of course, we're going to praise God when we get blessed, but God does it so that everybody will praise him. It's bigger than us altogether. Remember, somebody is always watching you. Somebody always is. Because see, this spills over. This blessing that God does is bigger us into what is really our last thought of the day, and that is that blessings give rise to praise. Blessings give rise to praise. Praise from us, but also praise from others as well. The psalmist is declaring that we praise God with the expectation, in anticipation, that others are going to praise him as well. I want you to catch this. So God moves in my life and does good things in my life that I can tell my family and friends about. I can testify to them of what God has done in my life. Grace can tell people she knows, the doctor said I had cancer and now I'm whole. Now I'm healed. She can tell other people about that. And of course, she's going to give God praise. But not only does she give God praise for the healing in her life and the blessing in her life, but you also give God praise in anticipation, in an expectation that others are going to as well. We did it this morning in this room. When she mentioned that she was doing well in this room, you all clapped. You all clapped. People said, praise the Lord. Amen. We did it. It's always bigger than just us. It's always more than just us. So when I get blessed, I say, God, I thank you so much for this blessing. And I thank you as well, God, because I know that through this, my sons, my grandchildren, my nephews and nieces, my cousins, my friends, my loved ones, I know that they also are going to see your goodness. They're going to see what you have done. They're going to be drawn as well. Again, someone's always watching you. Your child is watching you. Even if they're grown, they're still watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you. Your nephews and nieces, your neighbors, your coworkers, a parent, a cousin, a friend. Someone else is always seeing what is happening in your life. And God blesses you with grace and favor so that they will see it and they will be drawn to him as well, as if they walked by your plate in a restaurant to say, I want what you have. I want that. Man, I'm telling you, my experience in my life is there have been times in my life where there have been some individuals who have not wanted to hear anything about the things of God. I've tried to talk with them about the things of God. They haven't wanted to hear anything about the things of God. And then somewhere along the way, they've gone through a terrible crisis in their lives. And what do? They call me or they stop me and they say, hey, I know you pray. Will you pray? Will you pray for me? Will you pray in this situation? That means everything they've seen up until then, it was all in preparation for this moment right here, that they would know. You know what? Now they finally come to the place of, I need what I know you have. I don't have it, but I need what you have. I need what you've got now. And when God blesses us, it's looking ahead in that. So, man, never hesitate to testify about what God has done in your life. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and join me, if you would, at this time, as I wrap these up. It was a number of years ago, and this story will actually tell you it was a few years ago. It was Christmas, and I was at my mom's house. And my mom handed me a gift, as she would do on any given Christmas, and it was kind of small, and I opened it up to see what it was, and it was a DVD of a favorite Christmas movie of mine. I like Christmas movies. I'm kind of a Christmas movie junkie, and it was a DVD of a Christmas movie that I really liked. And I opened it, and I was gracious. I smiled and nodded. I was like, oh, thanks, but I knew something. Guess what I didn't have? A DVD player, thank you. So I just smiled. I was like, oh, thanks, Mom, that's great. But I knew I didn't have a DVD player, and I just thanked her for it, and I set it to the side, and I thought I'd play Frisbee with it or throw it to the dog or something. I don't know. So I set it there, and then my mom's like, oh, do you like that? And I was like, oh, yeah, I love that film. She said, oh, I got you something else also. And then she picked up another box, and she handed it to me, and I opened it up, and guess what was in that box? How do you guys know what my mom does? It had a DVD player in it as well. Now, she knew all along what she was going to do. She knew that the first gift was going to be connected to this other one. That's how God is in your life. God blesses you, all right, knowing that it's always bigger and always about something else, and it's always about more. It's always more than me. It's always so that I will praise him and others will rise up and praise him as well. It's always beyond just me as an individual in my life. Come on. He's always worthy of praise. We're all blessed. We're all blessed. I'm done, but remember, old covenant, obey me and I will bless you. That's not where we are. New covenant, I have blessed you, so obey me. I follow God now, not to get something. Jesus already came. Jesus already came. I'm looking back. Now I follow God because I'm already blessed. I already have favor. I already have grace. I'm already forgiven. I'm already cleansed. I already got it. So I'm not doing something to get something. I already got it. I'm looking back. So now we follow him, knowing that we're in this place of grace and of favor, and we do it knowing as well these blessings that are in our lives as God continues to pour out, knowing, wow, it's more than just me. My life is touching the lives of others as well. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're blessed. We're blessed. Moses came down off the mountain. He told Aaron, get your sons. When they bring the sheep and they bring the sheep in, say this to them. Say this to them. Say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Say that to them. Tell them, the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. And then God said this to Moses, and when Aaron says it, I'll do it. That's what God says. God says, I'll do it. Man, that's powerful, because you know who the royal priesthood is today? It's you. It's me, right? That's who we are today. We've been redeemed. We are. Peter says that's who we are now. Amen? Used to be in darkness, but now we're in his marvelous light. He's redeemed us, and now we are who have been set apart. Make sure you speak words of blessing over other people's lives. They're powerful. Speak words of blessing over other people's lives, knowing that when you do, God blesses. And the blessings in your life bless them as well. Amen? Father, we've been equipped today with a tool to understand your goodness in our lives. You've been good. You forgave us. Lord, if there's someone here today who's not been forgiven, they've not sought you for grace and mercy, I pray that they would not leave here today without doing so. I pray that this day they will call on you, Lord God. This day they will ask you to forgive them of all their sins. And I know, God, as they do, you will wash them away. May this be that day in their life. But for all of us who've already done this and are in this place of grace, we thank you that we are a people who are blessed by you. Every one of us, we can get up every single morning, put our feet on the floor and say, I am blessed. I am blessed. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for that. But I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, we've been equipped with this, that you would help us then to be bold, knowing that what you've done in our lives is always about others, Lord God. You're seeking to draw whole nations unto you through the blessings you've done in our lives. We thank you for that. We thank you for favor. We thank you for grace. We thank you for your peace. We thank you that your face is shining on us, that you're gracious to us. We thank you in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Juliana, would you lead us? Can we just sing a song where we bless God and praise him back for his goodness in our lives? Amen. And then just keep blessing him all week long. Hallelujah. Lead us in something here. Amen. Hallelujah.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. 'Cause there is power in your name. So much power. So much power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the immovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe. We'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. Move the immovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it.
Yes, Lord.
You are the way when there seems to be no way. We trust in you. God, you have the final say. You are the way when there seems to be no way. We trust in you. God, you have the final say. You are the way when there seems to be no way. We trust in you. God, you have the final say. Move the immovable. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see your miracles. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. God, we believe.
Yes, Lord.
God, we believe for it.
Yes, hallelujah. Come on, give God praise. Amen. God, we believe. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what's yet to come. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord God. We thank you that we are a people who are blessed by you. And in this place of blessing, may we spill over to others around us this week and every week, we pray, in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody declare, I am blessed. I am blessed. Amen. Come on, you're blessed by God. Go with the blessing and the favor of God upon you this week. Let's live victoriously in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.